Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX, a few minutes past 4 p.m. So I know you just had 47 hours of baseball, but I got some things stuck in my craw that I need to work out with my friend Kevin Wheeler here. So let's start with the Sejacy play, where there was a collision at the plate, and it looked like he was tap dancing around newborn babies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying they should have stepped on the guy's crotch or on his face, but somewhere between those two, you got to score on that play.
It's hard. I'm a little more harsh on the way the rules are enforced and on umpires than I am on a player there. I mean, you're literally making that decision in a split second. You're running full speed. They fall in front of you, and you have basically two or three choices. You can leap over them. You can end up tripping over them, or you try to go around them, which is what he did. It's really hard to know how a guy's going to react in that moment. Just it's such a random thing. But I really do think that in a spot like that, the umpire's common sense should be, well, they're in the baseline, and whether you meant to be there or not, you are not allowed to obstruct the path of a base runner unless you have the ball. That's an absolute fact of a rule in Major League Baseball. You cannot be in the way of a base runner.
Which they were,
when you do not have possession of the ball. That is the rule. So if a catcher at home plate, they cannot block the path to home plate unless they have the ball in their hand so that they can make the tag.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do that, you're out. Or I mean, I'm sorry, the runner is safe. They lose the out.
Right.
I don't know if they're going to play on the technicality. Well, they didn't really make contact. It shouldn't have to make contact. If you're going to make someone alter their path in a way that results in them being out.
Did Ollie argue that?
Yeah, but it's not challengeable.
Okay.
Right? It's not a play that can be reviewed. It's an umpire's judgment call. So if the umpires don't call it, there's nothing you can do.
So I know this wasn't the play, but I'm just curious. If you're playing catcher, you have the ball, the guy's still 10 feet away, you go down, you block the plate, what can the guy do?
Nothing.
Can he run you over?
No. He'll be ejected from the game.
Really?
Yeah, you can't run through people anymore.
So that's changed.
Yeah. That changed not long after Buster Posey suffered a broken leg on a play like that.
Okay.
And Major League Baseball is, probably being smart because they're also worried about head injuries for catchers.
Uh-huh.
I remember Mike Matheny telling us stories about some of the bad concussions that he had from those kinds of things or foul balls that catch you square. And they're trying to get ahead of that and get rid of that as much as they can. But also, like, it also stands to reason, right? What's the logic of allowing you to blow up a catcher but not a third baseman?
Yeah.
Why can't you, instead of sliding into second on a double play, why can't you just blow the guy up and drive him into left field? And the argument in the past was, well, the catcher has gear. Yeah, the gear is built to protect you from a baseball that hits you. It's not to protect you from a grown-ass man running at you full speed. That's not what the gear is designed for.
So this did not happen today, but this happened the other day, and I meant to ask you on the air. So if a pitcher takes a line drive to the face,
yeah,
and the ball just goes rolling,
yep,
and you as the base runner think you can take second,
yep.
Do you do it?
Yep.
You do it?
Yep. Fully accepted. Like it's
no
it's,
shade.
No. Nobody's gonna be mad at you for it. I mean, like it's everybody's stunned, but no, that's fair game. The part of the logic is the guys that are in the field still have to do their job. There's nothing they can do for him. You know, the shortstop can't run in and save the guy or help the guy or do anything. So you just play it out. And at some point, somebody will go get the ball.
Yeah,
I don't know how many times I've ever seen that happen, but yeah, I don't think it'd be frowned upon if he did it.
These are going to be novice questions.
Okay.
Why can't Ryan Helsley throw more than 10 pitches?
Now, this is an interesting question. I did not hear this come up. It might have, but we didn't hear all of Ollie Marmol's press conference today. So Matt and I will try to find more, and maybe Matt heard more of it. And we'll talk about that tonight.
So maybe you'll address this in the rush hour.
Yeah, well, we will for sure, because it's a fair question, right? I mean, Ryan Helsley came into the game and pitched the 11th inning and kept the game tied. He only threw 10 pitches. You scored in the 11th inning and took the lead.
And that's his job.
But then you replaced him with Steven Matz, who gave up a hit that allowed a run.
Yeah.
So what we have to understand before we can criticize is is there something that we don't know about? Are they being extra cautious because Helsley hasn't felt right? Did that outing in Boston, did he kind of come out of that dragging a little bit? And even with 2 days off, he's not feeling 100%. Because those are things we don't know, that managers have conversations with their pitchers every day.
Yeah.
How you feeling? What do you think? Are you good today? Are you limited today? And there's a back and forth there. So we don't know if there was anything like, yeah, I got a little bit, but not much. And if that's the conversation, then Ollie did the right thing in protecting his player. So this is the problem. It's like, this is why it's hard to criticize immediately.
You don't know the whole shot.
Because we don't know if that conversation took place or not.
Okay.
If it didn't, it's very telling, though, that you wouldn't go back to him after 10 pitches. So hopefully we have an answer on that. And again, honestly, he might not even address that after the game because it could play into the next game. You don't want that information out there in the public. It's not like the NFL. In the NFL, you have to give injury reports before every game, detailed injury reports. This guy's questionable. This guy's out. This guy is doubtful, whatever. In baseball, you don't do that.
Yeah, hockey, you have to say, like, lower body injury.
Yeah, but even then, you don't have to if the guy's going to play.
Okay.
Right? If the guy's going to, you know, that's only if they're going to be out or if it's in the middle of the game and you're giving an update. But you're right. All you have to do is say upper or lower body. You know, you don't have to say elbow, shoulder. You don't have to say how severe it is or whether it's likely they're coming back or not. So that's kind of protected information in baseball, where if let's just say that outing in Boston, he's just been dragging ever since and his arm just doesn't feel right. It feels good enough for a short outing, but it doesn't feel good enough to be even normal. Then that's the information that the manager's going off of that we don't know. So I'd like to know that before I criticize it, but that's a great question. I think, you know, these are the kinds of games that raise those kinds of questions.
Yeah.
Because it's these close, low-scoring, tight games where decisions have a greater impact on how a game's going to go. But the reality is this game is lost because you scored one run in 13 innings.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the reality.
Next question. I didn't know you ever took a pitcher out when he was pitching a no-hitter.
Yeah, that's changed in recent years. It used to be you never, ever, 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 ever do it under any circumstances. And I don't know if it's the last, I'd say it's probably at least 10 years that's changed and gone more and more to the point now where it's not only acceptable, but it's expected. Like now we've gotten to the point where you look up and like, he's through six, but he's thrown 80 pitches. No way he's finishing this one. And that's kind of what Ollie said about the decision today, because Fetty had a no-hitter through six. He did have four walks, so it's not like he was perfect. But no-hitter through six at 88 pitches, and they pulled him. And the decision to pull somebody with a no-hitter is not as big a thing as it used to be. It's still a little bit of a question, though, when you're at 88 pitches. Because you're averaging 13 pitches an inning at that point, and 13 more pitches, if you're on that pace and you're still pitching well, gets you to 101. 101 should be no problem for a veteran starting pitcher. But they felt like getting him out was better for him, even though he only threw 60-something in his last outing because it was that short one in Boston. Even though he threw 90 or more in every single one of his April starts last year.
Yeah.
And he threw 100 pitches quite a few times last year. He threw 90-plus, I think, 23 times.
Yeah.
So it's a fair line of questioning, but again, what did the player say to the manager in the dugout? If Eric Fetty comes in and Ollie says, how you doing? And he says, I'm hanging. Well, you're going to go get it. You're going to take him out.
Yeah.
Because if the pitcher tells you that, you have to trust him.
Is this interesting at all?
Yeah, it definitely is.
Okay. I know that Nolan Ryan was a cyborg, but
he was an alien.
He pitched 280 pitches. He regularly pitched 120, 130.
Oh, yeah. 120 would have been a light day for Nolan Ryan.
So when did this happen?
Well, keep in mind, Nolan Ryan was a unicorn even in his time.
Although
a lot of guys threw regularly 130, 140 pitches back then.
Is it just protecting the players? Is it protecting the,
it's everything.
The money you have invested in them?
It's all of it,
all
right?
All of the above.
It's all of it because injuries have become more prominent. Now, I think it's important to understand a couple things, though. Players used to get hurt all the time back in the day, too. But the problem is these injuries meant their career was over. So you never heard of them again. There are plenty of guys that had talent. They get up, their shoulder breaks. They you know, before Tommy John surgery and even in the early days of Tommy John surgery, you just never would come back the same guy. There is a guy that was, do you know the name Frank Tanana?
No.
Frank Tanana was a left-handed pitcher who came up with the Angels in the 70s, and he was basically like Nolan Ryan. He was a lefty throwing 96, 97 miles an hour. He was striking out 300 guys a year, and then he got hurt. And after that, he was basically a soft-tossing lefty throwing 86. And he was never the same guy. He kept pitching, and he had a career after that, but he was never the same guy again.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a lot more common back then. Now, you have more frequent injuries, but you come back from them faster mm-hmm. because the tech, you know, the surgeries are better, the recovery process is better. But also now, more players are throwing max effort than before.
Yeah.
So Nolan Ryan was probably not holding back too much.
Yeah.
But he still had a regulator, right? He still had a regulator. He wasn't going 100% on every pitch all the time.
Yeah.
But he probably did it more than we think.
Yeah.
But he's a unicorn. There aren't many people that could ever do that. Most of the old-time pitchers were regulating themselves, and they because their goal was, I'm going to throw 9 innings. You ask Bob Gibson what he's going to do today. He's going to throw 9 innings, right? You ask any of the guys, that was their plan. So if that meant holding back a little bit, that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's not even a factor. You're not holding back anything. You're out there throwing as hard as you can on every pitch. Everything you got for your fastball, every breaking ball is thrown max effort for most pitchers. And that leads to more frequent injuries. And that is a money thing because you've got millions of dollars invested in these guys. And teams are trying to protect them. The problem is they're failing at it because they've been reducing injury, they've been reducing workloads. They've been shutting guys down earlier and they're still getting hurt. And they're getting hurt at greater rates than any time in history.
Yeah.
So obviously there's something wrong.
Last sports question. What do you think I could bench press?
If
this were Underdog.
If you're under, I would put your over under at your body weight. What's your body weight?
180.
You probably could do that.
Damn right I could do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, that's not nothing, right? Not 180 is not nothing, but body weight would be generally, it's not everybody can, but you're in pretty good shape, so I think you'd
be okay.
What
do you think is the most ever bench pressed?
Ever?
Ever.
Oh, you probably had to do 260, 270?
850.
850? That's pretty good, man.
You know, Kevin benched you.
850 ounces.
Maybe you got to return the favor.
What's that? Me bench press him?
Maybe you got bench Kevin.
I like my rib cage.
Yeah, well, don't bench with your ribs either, but you know that. Yeah, I bet back in the day you had a good one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How much did you weigh when you were lifting? Like, how much was your weight?
About the same, 185, 190.
Okay, so you were in that range. So, yeah, you could easily, depending on how much you trained for it, you could have easily been well above that.
Yeah.
Could have easily benched Kevin.
Easily.
Oh, back then?
Could've,
maybe not in real person because I'm a little flopsy, but certainly with the weight on a bar.
Definitely could have gone one state.
A little flopsy.
Coach would have put me in, no doubt. No doubt.
Back in 82?
Back in 82, no diz out.
Yeah.
Welcome back, DGS 424. Wheels was just saying, like, how'd you like to be the O'Reilly Auto Parts guy that goes, ow? I've done some voice work, but the very first time I was hired by a local studio that were fans of the show, and it was an ad for, what's that liquor that's terrible? Schnapps.
Oh.
And I was playing a demented dentist. And my line was, Mary, has a Novocaine taken effect yet? So I did it. And they're like, yeah, that's great. That's great. Can you do it a little more like Mr. Burns? I'm like, hey. And it was so easy, Mary. And I did it, and they handed me a check for $1,500. And I'm like, I'm going to stay here all day.
Can I do that?
I'm going to be here all day. And every voice you have, I'm going to do.
I'll make funny voices.
Need Yoda when he... Novocaine. Take an effect it has. Nope. I should have doubled down on the voice stuff. I've been doing impressions since I was in first grade. It's my calling.
It's never too late.
Yeah, it's too late now. Almost everything's too late for me.
That's not true.
My life is done.
I'm dead.
I am dead. I'm a zombie. You know, things that you've never experienced. Rach and I were walking today, and she mentioned that her brother, Big Dave Zimmerman's getting some overtime. I've never been paid an hour of overtime.
Oh?
Really?
I've never, ever had a job
where you
got overtime.
Yeah.
And if I did, I certainly didn't work enough to get it. I was getting undertime.
Oh, yeah,
they're
so
like,
great.
You actually owe us money.
Dave, you have to pay us today.
We're going
to
need $18 from you. I'd have been like, okay. Sounds fair to me.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what I'm thinking about was, it's going to be a potpourri of a show,
sure.
Right? I was thinking about how into Star Wars you guys are.
Yeah.
The first one, I think, was so great because no one knew any of the actors. Even Alec Guinness. No one in America knew who the hell that was. And then with the later ones, you're like, that's Rosario Dawson. That's Liam Neeson. Like, it took you out of the moment, I think.
A little bit. I mean, when we were kids, you know, like, I was about to call him Han Solo, but Harrison Ford was known before that. But he wasn't a star, right? He had been in a couple of movies, what's the other George Lucas movie?
American Graffiti. Graffiti.
Like, he had been in that, but it wasn't like he's Harrison Ford is now, right? And I think that's a valid, to me, it's one of the valid complaints about the newer movies, is when you're picking people that are such big stars. It does kind of take you out of it. Some of them are better than others. Like, I thought Ewan McGregor was really fine as Obi-Wan, but that was also before he was a megastar.
Mm-hmm.
He was famous and he was well known, but he wasn't what he is now when that started.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was a good theory.
It's a great theory.
It is. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. And I think that the problem is
Yoda had done some porn.
Yeah.
What?
So, yeah. I mean, I knew him.
But I was going to say, I was familiar with him before, but I think a lot of people maybe.
They had that on Dagobah?
Yeah, that's the name of the movie.
Oh.
Do or not do.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX 436. We're just talking about cool people we know. And in the music business, I was honored to be friends with Brad Delp, the lead singer of Boston, and still friends with Derek St. Holmes, who's the lead singer of Ted Nugent. And we played a gig together, Derek and I did, a few years back when Bulger and I redid the USO. And he showed up with Carlisi from 38 Special. We flew him in to play. And he was just shooting the bull with us, just talking like this. And, like, I'm kind of a screamer when I sing, and so I'd have to warm up. And he hadn't warmed up at all, and he got up there to sing Hey Baby, Hey Baby, which is really high, and just belted it. Didn't even take a drink of water. And then I remember thinking, oh, he's not my friend. He's a pro. This is what he does.
He's a big
There's
leaguer.
A reason he's a millionaire.
Yeah.
And sometimes, especially if you kind of know someone, like, you know everyone in sports, and you can start to feel like I'm boys with Bulger. You start to feel like the first time Bulger came to my house, so embarrassing. We're sitting there and I go, want to go throw the ball around a little bit? Swear to God. And so we go out to my backyard in Darden Prairie and we're throwing the football. We throw it like 3-4 times, and he goes, is that enough? And I go, yeah.
Because your hands were stinging.
No, because it was so embarrassing.
Oh, I get you.
It was just so embarrassing.
Yeah.
That's it's sweet,
funny.
Though.
Yeah. It was very sweet. Yeah. He thought it was sweet.
He's like, I do like okay, that little buddy.
Yeah, I do like that it's like, hey, Mark, would it be fun for you if
if we go do the thing that you get paid to do but not get paid to do it this time?
And I really did do it like that. I'm like, so we could shoot some pool. We could throw the ball, throw the old pigskin around.
He's like, I don't throw the ball around enough. Let's go.
No, that's kind of your thing.
Yeah.
I could give you some notes. I don't know.
Maybe you see something, you know?
I came over one time to his place, and he was leaving to go to mini camp, whatever that's called, in a couple of days, and he was out in the back 40, and he was just running plays by himself, you know, like pretending to hand it off and stuff. So I go down there, and I'm like, hey, man, like, I was a pretty good receiver. I'll run some routes for you. And he goes, first of all, you're so much slower than, like, Torrey Holt. You'll throw my timing off.
Yeah, you'll jack everything up.
And he said, I'll literally break your fingers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, we could just drink beer, too.
Yeah. Or we could just watch TV. Yeah.
Just play a little catch.
Yeah.
Like when we did that thing at Busch Stadium, even though those guys were older, they weren't in their prime, there's just a difference.
Oh, the guys that we're talking about, like
Scott Terry,
Scott Cooper and those guys?
Coops.
Yeah, it's not the same.
Like you with Charles Johnson.
I was his caddy,
right.
And that's what I deserved to be.
Yeah.
That's how good he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every once in a while, you run into that.
Yeah. And you're lucky too.
It's kind of cool.
That's one of I would count that as one of the top 10 experiences of my life.
It keeps you from being Uncle Rico.
Right.
And thinking, if they just put me in, I would have won state.
No doubt. What do you say? I can throw it a quarter mile.
Throw it a quarter mile. Clear across those mountains.
Across those mountains.
And then he throws it all weird.
It's like 4 feet.
Oh, God. I need to watch. I haven't watched that movie in 20 years.
Andrew and I were just talking, because yesterday I was wearing like puffy sleeves, and Andrew was like, I like your puffy sleeves. And I was like, I like your sleeves. They're real big.
Real big.
I'm going to build her a cake. And do some headlines?
Sure. Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. So the U.S. is seeing a sharp decline in foreign tourists. The number is down 11% in March from the previous year. And air travel from Mexico has dropped 23% this year.
Yeah, no shock.
However, Florida has broken a travel record for domestic vacation last year. They had 142.9 million visitors travel to the Sunshine State last year alone.
And they were all at Disney. No,
I'd like to go back to Epcot. But you know what? I could just go to Epcot. I'm not so much on the mouse.
I'm not as big on the mouse, but I gotta have some rides.
Oh, see, I'm not a ride guy.
Yeah, I gotta be on some rides.
Yeah.
Let's go to Universal.
I've never been.
Oh, yeah.
We should all for real go to Six Flags this summer.
Oh, we should.
We should go on like a Cardinals Day.
Yeah.
And like make a video or something.
Or road trip to Cedar Point.
I get scared of all the roller coasters. The only roller coasters that don't scare me are Disney ones.
Who's going to ride the roller coaster with wheels? Because all of us are afraid of roller coasters.
That's a good point. I'll be there.
He just said that.
Hey, guys.
Like if you found a serial killer in his closet.
Afraid of roller coasters.
I get scared of the roller coaster. Why'd you kill her, Andrew? I get afraid of the roller coaster.
Except the Disney ones. They're not so scary.
Do you ride anything?
I'll ride all the Disney ones because I don't find them so terrifying.
Oh, they got some pretty good ones there.
They have some good ones there. But the thing is, they're all so, how do I put this? They're all so heavily themed. That and a lot of the like fastest ones are like in the dark, so it's a lot harder to get scared by what's going on, and easier to distract yourself and kind of lose yourself.
I don't know, man. I saw that one picture. You seemed
other
pretty...
than that. Other than that one picture,
do we have that?
Yeah,
I've got it. I've got
that's
it.
That's awesome. Aren't you sitting next to honeymoon. Someone who's just like
it's a little kid.
It's a child. Who's
it's a little
not
kid, and he's
bothered.
Just like just no expression
I'm
on his face
in front
whatsoever.
Of, yeah, I'm sitting in front of a little kid who. I can't. I don't even want to use the word that he did to me so badly. He is like, could not look more
start
bored.
With P?
No.
Start with C.
No.
Jeez.
He could not look more bored, and he's just like, And I am in front of him going,
little Wheeler.
It's so great. He's just. He's not. Not only does he look bored, he looks angry.
Oh, yeah, he was, like, mad.
Wasted his time.
Because he was mad he had to sit behind me, who was screaming at the top of my lungs.
Either that or he was mean mugging for the camera because he knew the camera was coming and he wanted to show his friends how cool he was.
I wish I had known that there was a camera there because maybe I would have reacted slightly differently.
We have one of those of Nick. The first time he went down the log flume.
Oh, yeah?
And it is like if death was a picture. I mean, it was just...
That's funny.
Pure horror.
Did you guys see that two people came within one game of a perfect NCAA bracket?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Never been done, right?
It's never happened. The chances of that happening are somewhere around 1 in 9.2 quintillion.
Yeah.
Oh, my. And how many games that came close?
Someone picked 62 of 63 games right for the first time ever in ESPN's bracket challenge.
Wow.
And then a second person began their bracket with a 57-0 mark, which is the longest win streak ever. I think that was with CBS.
Yeah, damn. That's crazy, man.
That is crazy.
I mean, I wonder how many of them are just using like the analytics tools that pick for you.
Mm.
Right? Because you can do that. You can fill out a bracket using an analytics tool. You don't have to think about it. It'll be based on like matchups and things like that.
So you guys have probably done like a lot of office brackets in your time.
Oh, yeah.
Does it ever get frustrating when someone, like if it was someone like me just making random picks and it's like, I'm
and
doing
it usually
really
is.
Well.
And it usually is.
A lot of cases it is. Yeah, it depends on where you work. But there's no question that, but what it shows you is with that many games, even if you know what you're talking about, you don't really know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No.
You can't.
A new poll says that Americans without a college degree still believe in the value of college, with 70% considering a bachelor's degree extremely or very valuable. But only 18% of those surveyed believe that four-year colleges charge a fair price. So there's a little bit of a disconnect there.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's valuable, but a lot of people don't think it's necessarily financially worth it to do something like that.
Rach, is that a young Michael Landon?
Let me see. It looks, yeah, I believe so.
He was a handsome man.
He kind of looks like Charlie Sheen right there, too, doesn't he?
A little Martin Sheen going there, too, yeah. Which, of course, makes sense because they look alike. They look alike.
Who knows? Those two kind of got
have
some
the same name.
What's up with that?
Oh, Dan Levy and Eugene Levy, her father and son. I must be stupid because for the longest time, I was like, oh, those two really look alike. But I didn't realize they were on like the same show. I just kind of peripherally knew each of them as a celebrity.
Right.
I'm like, oh, they kind of got the same vibe going.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, that's,
I wonder
that's
why.
His dad. So that makes sense.
I love stupid moments like that.
I've got a lot of them.
Dave. We've all had them.
They're great.
We've all had them.
A lot of them. Let's do one more story here. Prince Harry is fighting to regain his UK security protection. So he's only provided with bespoke security on a case-by-case basis whenever he visits the UK. His lawyer told the court that the prince was not asserting that he should automatically be entitled to the same protection as he was previously given, but he should have been given a detailed account of how the panel originally came to the conclusion it did. So he wants to know why he's on this bespoke basis.
Because he bailed.
How much of his problems are due to Meghan?
I think that's kind of a... Look, I think it's them together. I don't think it's just Meghan.
I think it's their whole family's jacked up.
Yeah, I think it's a little disingenuous to be like, she came in and ruined everything. Like Wheels just said, that family is...
It's pretty crazy. It's not like Charles was helping things out back in the day.
No, he was not.
I watched The Crown. I know.
Same here. He caused a whole bunch of issues on his own.
He was the big whiny baby, too. He's like, but I can't hit the girl I want. Well,
did you see Prince Charles or King Charles playing the carrot flute the other night?
What?
Yeah, they had the vegetable symphony, and he was playing a carrot, and everyone's like, you're so relatable. You're amazing.
What's a vegetable? Yeah, I'm kind of with Kevin here.
We know what a carrot is.
Yes.
And if you played it like a flute.
It's pretend.
You got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they all pretend that the vegetables are instruments?
Well, they had holes in them as if they were playing them.
Hmm. Oh, but so they're maybe actually like little recorders?
Yeah, I think so. Survey went out asking people their perfect grilled cheese sandwich. Here's mine.
Okay.
Non-negotiable. Velveeta. Velveeta cheese makes the best grilled cheese. Done to the point of just shy of burned. That's my grilled cheese. How about you guys?
I like a nice sharp cheddar, just in general.
Pretty fancy for Grafton.
I know,
lady.
But I mean, Kraft singles are great too. And I'm like you, Dave. I want it pretty burned.
A little charred.
Yeah.
I'll avoid the char. I like a toasted, fully grilled, but like a light crisp to it, like not too dark.
What's your cheese poison?
I think I might say Velveeta. Yeah,
there you go.
I think I am on the Velveeta thing because it's got to be good and melted and gooey in a way that real cheese just can't do.
Yeah,
like,
and
it's got
to
be.
By the way, Velveeta is as close to cheese as it is to turtles. I mean, that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's cheese food.
Real cheese simply can't be trusted to make the best grilled cheese. It's got to be the processed
stuff. Too temperamental.
Yes.
Nah, you got to go big, dude. You got to get thick cut bread. I'm with Andrew. You got to go lightly on the outside, lightly toasted on the outside. You go cheddar, Swiss, and white cheddar, and then you get Parmesan on the outside crust.
Yeah.
That little Lord Fauntleroy I see over there?
I think it sounds good.
Where's all the goop? Where does the goop come in?
Three kinds of cheese.
What goop?
I didn't know there were three kinds of cheese.
Yeah, no, it's...
Oh, you got to do the three cheese grilled cheese with the Parmesan on the outside, so it's like crazy bread, but like grilled cheese in the middle.
No, you take the slime sauce from the Velveeta shells and cheese, and you put it on the bread, and you squish it together.
That's not bad.
A nice goopy grilled cheese.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.